you being metamorphed? Are you being metamorphed? At the at WFW this year, I was able to give a seminar to the teens. And, of course, as there's been such a change over the years in the types of movies that we watch. I know that one time I went to an Avengers movie on the big screen at the movie theater, and when I came out, my head was just spinning so fast. Because nowadays, the shots are going so fast. Everything is so fast that it's one of those, if you went to that and then went to a John Wayne movie, I don't know how you'd make it through the John Wayne movie. Hey, partner, as you're traveling along on the horse and everything's going so slow with not much action here and there, just the scenery of the West, it's changed so much. And so you've got these superhero figures that are out there that a lot of people look to, the Marvel characters and the, I think there's another one called the Invincibles or whatever that's been out. And so it's been so interesting. I titled mine The Intangibles. You know, it's so interesting. We have access to such a power that no one really knows about. These are the intangibles, the ones that Mr. Baker spoke about. Patience. We're going to need it for the future. There's no doubt about it. And we can't just snap our fingers and get it like that. In fact, as I stood back and examined that, I said, I wonder how filled my patience tank is. You know, as far as the fullness goes, maybe everyone's tank is a little bit different. But I don't know where mine is right now, but I know that God knows that. He knows how much we need to grow and be helped. You know, with these intangible things that we're looking at. So we are really, in a sense, when you think about it, the superheroes for the future. But it requires a lot of work on our part. You know, look around how things are changing. Once again, some for the good and some for the bad. As you look right now, this is a dismal time of the year. It's not my favorite time of the year for sure when you get constant overcast. Even though it might be a bit warmer, but I love having the sun out, even if it be 6 below 0. I just love seeing that sun out there. I love seeing the leaves on the trees. So, but this will change. Other things will change too. You know, as we go back again, stepping back, I'd like to go back once again to Genesis chapter 1. I know some months ago I went back to this to discuss a certain element of this, but maybe in a different way now to look at it, maybe in a different way. In Genesis chapter 1, there was a transformation that occurred. And sometimes we read over it so fast, like we do in other parts of the scripture, that we don't bear in mind what this was really all about. Here it says, in the beginning, or as we've looked and read before, many of us would quote it as in a beginning. It wasn't the beginning as we look at beginnings. It's very difficult sometimes for us to identify with beginnings. I know I've got a date that I identify with. It was June 1st, 1957. I was there, but I can't remember it. It may be a good thing that I can't, but that was a beginning for me. October 20th, 1964 for my wife. That was a beginning. So we've all had different beginnings that we can identify with. Here was a beginning that's kind of difficult, in a sense, to identify with because it was multi-thousands of years ago. But it says there was a creation or a recreation, as we came to find out as well, a recreation of the heavens and the earth. And that begs us to ask the question, what did the earth really look like before the recreation? We've never really asked that before. Because all of a sudden something happens, you get a transformation, and things were created. Were these things created before? Some might say that they were. Some actually believe that there was an existence of some form of humanoids or whatever before all this took place. It's very interesting to look at that. What really happened for that? And for our purposes, it really, in a sense, doesn't matter. You know, God knows all that took place. We're reading and seeing what happened here. It says, the one thing that I remember passing over here was on verse 2. It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then something happened. So most of us, my gander would be, unless you've looked at it differently too, did you ever look at it that way? Or did you just kind of blow over that? The Spirit was hovering. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever, let's go. Let's see all the days of creation and all the things that took place right now. Something happened. There was something that happened. And through the continuity of the entirety of the Bible, there's always been a transformation when the Spirit of God is there. That's all that you'll see from Genesis to Revelation. That's why that's so important, not to be neglected. Something was done when the Spirit of God was in action. It says it's covered. There was action that took place. And so, obviously, when you see the rest that took place, there was an entire recreation of beasts being created, of Adam being created, of Eve being created out of a rib. There's the power of God that was involved right here. There was a transformation. In Romans chapter 12, let's quickly go over to this side of the Bible. Romans here, it talks about a transformation as well. In Romans chapter 12, actually, let's begin in verse 1 here. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not even above and beyond, is it? That's what he's saying. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So even as things go, as important as Mr. Baker was pointing out, is even the concept of patience. Have you grown? Can you see from maybe a beginning that you had in your life, do you have more patience than you used to? I mean, this is really all a reflection. I couldn't really look at someone else from your beginning. Maybe I could look at my wife, and we've always asked, have we grown in this way? Do you think that I've grown in this way, or you've grown in that way? I would think that after 30 years of marriage, you would hope that would take place. I would hope. But sometimes the problem is we can't always see ourselves. Someone else can. It's really a delight when somebody will come up and say, you know, I think that you've grown in this area, or you've grown in that area. Or maybe you could actually say that to yourself. Maybe you could say, I believe I've grown. And, of course, in the humility that we need to have, you realize, I know I need a lot more growth too, and God will still show me how much more I need, because in order to get to that point where we become leaders of the world tomorrow, God's going to say, I need a people that are prepared for that. I always wondered if we always felt that maybe God will just fix all of that when we're resurrected. That all of a sudden, in all that, you know, once we get the full power of God's Spirit, then we're going to have all the patience. I don't think that's the way that God works. He always works in a way that you build and you grow and you learn. I thought even as playing the piano. When I was a kid, we had a piano, something like that, down our basement. I remember I probably first started just plucking keys out, drove my parents crazy because they never went anywhere. And then I got to the point where I could play chopsticks. And then I got to the point where I can put some chords together. I can't play a full song. I can't play like Mr. Smith or Jeffrey Baker. I can't do that. I guess I could, though. I think that I could. But it would require a lot of practice. I couldn't just sit down now and go watch me play Horowitz here, or something like that. It would take a lot of practice. So there's a lot of different tools and a lot of analogies and things that we can look at on the way that we've got to grow and be transformed, like this is talking about. To be transformed, you know where that comes from? It's so interesting. If you've ever looked at the Greek word of transformed, it comes from the Greek word metamorpho. So that's the title. Have you been metamorphed? Metamorpho, I believe, as it's pronounced. Metamorphed. It means changed. Change. Transformed. Be you changed. And it says then through the renewing of your mind, which comes from the Greek word. By the way, metamorpho, if you want to know, metamorph, and just with two O's at the end. So metamorpho, meaning changed. And then the Greek word for renewing is anakenosis. Anakenosis, anakainosis. You know what this part, what this means? It's a renovation. When you look back at Genesis chapter 1, didn't God do a renovation? The renovation took place. In fact, there was another renovation probably after the flood, wasn't there? A lot of things probably got moved and renovated in that flood besides a man starting all over and kind of having a new beginning there as well. Transformed and renewed. Now, when you look back at a metamorphosis, can anybody think of a good example of what takes place in life with a metamorphosis? I remember learning that a long time ago. Most of you would be thinking about a butterfly, wouldn't you? There's other examples as well. I believe tadpoles and the frogs, that would be an example of a metamorphosis as well. But, you know, there's a prime example there of a caterpillar, and you watch how it builds this cocoon around you. Again, another marvel of God, how you go from this scrawny little worm thing that nobody would want on their arm to a butterfly, which you would let land on your arm. But that's an example of metamorphosis. That's a transformation takes place. And then I looked up, I just thought, well, if it's a transformation, let's look at this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed, also, look at the definition of a transformer. Definition of a transformer is an electrical device that transforms energy between circuits. Isn't that interesting when you couple that analogy? Transform energy between circuits. Where do we get this energy from to transform? As Mr. Baker pointed out, what do we do to help us? We appeal to God, who helps us with that extra energy that we need. A transformation takes place in our mind. We couldn't take all of it at one time. It would probably kill us to get the full power of God all at one time. Moses couldn't even look upon God in his full power and be able to live. But there is a transformation in our lives that's being done on a daily basis. And then throughout the Bible, you can see of all these transformations and the continuity that takes place from anyone in the Old Testament when you look at figures such as Job. What can you see when you read the book of Job? A transformation took place through a heavy trial, one of the heaviest, I think, that could be experienced. We saw a transformation take place when you look at the end of Job and you see, well, he thought he saw. And now his eyes were really open. You go to Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and judges such as Samson and Gideon and Deborah and the prophets such as Samuel and Elijah. Think about each and as I go through kind of quickly. But you look at the kings such as David and Josiah and Hezekiah, all from the very beginning of Genesis, all the way through the book of Malachi. What do you find in commonality with all those that I just mentioned? There was transformation, but how? How was there transformation with all of these figures? There was transformation. Whenever you look at these figures, there were miracles that took place. We discussed what happened to them. You look at any of those, and you see how miracles took place in their life. All the specific details that go through on God transforming not only their lives, but people that they came into contact with as well. All the things that took place with Samson, of course, and so many Bible stories that are shared when it comes to him, or Gideon. What happened with Elijah, that you remember, and always I mentioned to my wife, so I would hope sometimes, if not now, but maybe in the future, that we could actually, if John was able to see visions of the future, I wonder if God would be able to allow us to see visions of the past, because I would have loved to see Elijah beating Ahab in his chariot. That was some fast running. And then as we mentioned before, when you go from an attitude of wanting, you could dominate the universe because you feel so strong with God, as Elijah was, when he was telling the prophets, I'd love to see that one. Go ahead and pour some more on, pour more water on, keep it going. What was it really like when that took place? And then he gets to the point where he's devastated by the words of a woman. How does somebody do that? I think we all pretty much have experience with that. Maybe not at that level, but we do, or maybe we do at that level. Maybe you've gone from being on the mountain to being so despaired. And we learn as we grow as we're transformed. The commonality within all these that you see is they identified with the power of God. They identified with the power of God. It may have taken some time, but they identified with it. And you could see Moses identified with it. He believed. Abraham believed. But there was a transformation because God didn't give him everything at one time. As I couldn't sit down at the piano and play like Horowitz, I could do a pretty good rendition of Chopsticks. I can do a couple decent chords. I can put notes together. I've not exercised in that area that far to be that accomplished. And it's like anything in life. We've got to work at what we have to do and being transformed. And it's never easy. So there's 3 points here today. There's always a beginning. There's always a beginning. Then you'll find throughout the Bible, this is what you'll find. There's a beginning. There's a movement that takes place. Or you can say a preparation. Or you can say or education. But in anything that we start out with, there's a beginning. As you go back to Genesis and you see that beginning. There was a beginning, there was a movement, and then there was a transformation. And you'll see that reflected in everything. There was always a beginning with Moses, a beginning with all these, and you see a movement that took place that was by the power of God, and then you always see a transformation. I'd like to offer you some encouragement today for some that feel like they're stifled. The power of God does not sit dormant. And so we've got to find ways to stir it up that we can continue to be transformed. Is anybody here satisfied with themselves? Sometimes I think we might be a bit hard on ourselves sometimes, and that could happen as well. But there does need to be a transformation, a continued growth pattern. There's always that beginning, though. We could all maybe identify with it maybe in different ways. Then you get to the point where you come to the New Testament, and you see another transformation. Let's go to John chapter 1. And verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. This is another beginning. There was movement. And on this one, there's a huge transformation. That's not yet completed, by the way, as we know. But going into detail, here you have another beginning. In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we can identify with that, that we know that that was that Father, Son, or those gods that existed from the very beginning. It wasn't yet the Son. He was called the Word. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So for some people that think that Satan or some of the demons had creative capabilities, you would look through the entirety of the Bible and know that God would never be insane enough to give Satan creative capabilities. All things were made by God. That makes sense. It's the power of God that moves this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm a little bit more up to date on this now. Are you? When you see some of the, what we would call, sorry, nutcases that are out there, with no education at all, as I saw some of the questions being thrown at some of the appointees, I'm just going, you've got to be kidding me. Am I insane here? No, very clear. The darkness doesn't understand it. They don't get this. So that makes more sense. And we're seeing more of it, and we will see more and more of it as you and I are transformed. The way this world goes will not make sense. There was a man sent forth from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, and that was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. He came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, he gave them the right, the authority, the power, to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of nor of the will of man, but of God. So now we see our opportunity because of this beginning and a transformation taking place through the power of God's Spirit, what our outcome could be in all but 12 verses here. I mean, the Bible is incredibly written in one way when you see how many more words can be shown here. But let me do this. This was huge here, but I'd like to go back to some details to reflect on that power. We see the transformation here. Here we see the outcome, the transformation. You know, transformations today come in so many different ways because of award ceremonies that are always given. For some reason, there's always some kind of either country music awards, not against awards, by the way, but it just always seems like people are rewarding each other. You get Academy Awards, then the Golden Globes, then something else, and people always go, oh, you know, thank you, I want to thank my friends and all this. And, you know, could you imagine us, we receive our reward, we come up and go, I want to thank all my friends, and I don't think it's going to be the same way, is it? Now, but that's sometimes that can be so overwhelming. We see everybody being rewarded now, and yet I don't have my reward yet. How much do we really realize and look at that, what this transformation is doing into its completeness, what it's talking about here? Let's go to Luke chapter 1. See, we'll see a beginning here as well. Luke chapter 1, you'll see a beginning, you'll see a movement, and you'll see a transformation. Luke chapter 1. Let's go to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. Some have gone, by the way, to be able to date the birth of Christ as to the temple service of Zacharias, as you've probably seen before. Not going to go there, but just this is one of those scriptures that they use here. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Very interesting. That takes you back, in a sense, where have you heard that before? Back to Job. There were some good people here. Did they make mistakes? Absolutely. All have sinned, so we understand this. But it was the way that they walked. And I bet they believed in transforming as well. I wonder if she ever pointed out to Zacharias, you just don't have enough patience yet. Sure, they went through that. They were all being transformed, but they believed that. They believed in their calling there. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Now, that must have been tough. Here you're following through, but you're not receiving what you think your reward is, because at that time, if you were barren, you were looked down upon as a woman. And it talks about this. They were both well advanced of years, so now we're looking at, it seems to be beyond the time of being able to bear a child. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Could you imagine that? I like to step back from that too and wonder if that happened to me. You're kind of thinking, hey, people say that when the minister comes and visits them. What have I done? That's happened before. Could you imagine an angel here to give you something and you're thinking about, you're transforming, it's never good enough in your life, and all of a sudden an angel here is going, I guess I'm not reading up or listening enough. He's got to send an angel now to tell me something's going on here. So that's where it says. It says fear fell upon him. You know, you would think on the other hand, he's going, finally, I've been praying about this for years for God to show up or somebody to show up and talk to me. Others would be thinking of that. Again, take a look at this for what it could have been. Maybe in the future we'll get the movie. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. See the continuity again? Where would you kind of find the same story in the Old Testament? Same place with Sarah, wouldn't you? Only this woman didn't laugh. But Zacharias didn't necessarily believe. It says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor straw drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. What did that tell you there? There was a beginning and there was power. And you were going to see a transformation. Now look what it says here. That's why many came up with, here's the answers here as to your prophecy concerning Elijah. This is the Elijah. And even the disciples understood this, but there was not a book written on John the Baptist, even though he was the greatest person who ever lived except for Jesus Christ. And that's what the scripture says. So that would be Abraham, Moses, Job, Elijah, greatest person who ever lived. We just don't have a book on John the Baptist. Stay tuned. There'll be a video on that one too. But this is what it says. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I've heard people say, well, he never did that. Well, then the angel's a liar. That's what he said he was going to do. I believe he did it. Once again, there's just not a book written on John the Baptist. But he obviously, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, there's going to be a manifestation of that power. There's going to be a transformation that takes place, that occurs. But you get that time where you get a beginning, and there's the Spirit that hovers, something is being done, and then you get a transformation. You'll see the accomplishments that are done. So Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And see, you got a picture of some doubt here. How am I going to know this? So you know that the angel, I don't believe, did this by himself. An angel is a messenger. You do what God tells you to do. Even Christ himself said, I don't say anything or do anything except it comes from my Father. So there was an order here. Gabriel just didn't all of a sudden kind of get ticked with him and go, by the way, this is going to happen now. God evidently probably knew this was going to take place. He goes, by the way, if this happens, this is what you do. And there was going to be, once again, a transformation through power. Because you don't just mute somebody without power. How did you do that? We want to figure out something scientific that took place. People want to find out something scientific and how the creation took place, so they think it's got to be a big bang. Not realizing how God does this. And you'll see more of that here as well. So the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Now, put yourself in that again. How would that be? You're talking all the time. You come out, people are asking you questions. I mean, are you trying to voice it? Was he trying to go, and nothing was coming out? Did his mouth just not open? We just know he wasn't able to speak. There was something that took place there. There was a movement of God's power. Because that's the only way that can be done. And it says that as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach. See how that was looked upon. It was a reproach for a woman not to bear. And now she was beyond those years. And it says she hid herself for 5 months. He wondered if she was thinking, am I still going to keep this pregnancy? What is it? Or was she just grateful to God and was to herself at that time for what was being said about this? It doesn't give us everything, but it gives us enough to see this transformation taking place. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you upon women, among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Once again, you don't see that very often. What's going on here? Most of the time when an angel shows up, people are in trouble. Someone's in trouble, it would seem. Maybe that was the thought. But it said, well, again, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That would floor you. Now, especially of a woman thinking that. If God came up to you and says, this is what's going to happen with you, I'd like to step back and just think about that for a minute, when something was going to take place there. You know, and Mary's not mentioned. You know, you always wonder, what happened to her? When did she die? Did she continue? Did she ever get disillusioned, especially after seeing her son sacrificed, but then again resurrected? Whatever happened when she went through, obviously, more tribulation when the church had so much that it went through as well? What happened? It doesn't say. But this it does say, there was a beginning here, and there was a spirit that was moving. Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be, going back to physical circumstances, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Very interesting. So how does that happen? Did you ever think of how that takes place? I've got an answer for you. How about this one? So how does Mary get pregnant without a guy? Well, here's one. You take Mary's ovum, one of her eggs, and God takes a spiritual sperm, and you put it together, and it becomes, that's physical reasoning, isn't it? Sometimes we always want to try to figure out scientifically how this takes place. And you look back at all the continuity of the Bible from the very beginning, there was no scientific data. They keep wanting to think that somehow there is a wind that rushed through that divided the Red Sea. Mankind tries to figure out physical ways of coming up with ideas of how God did it spiritually. You and I know in our lives when the Spirit of God works, especially with intangible. As Mr. Baker pointed out once again, how do you get more patience? How do you get more of that? Well, let's just go up to the corner store and we can buy some. Take some pills, some patience pills. It's always a physical fix. The power of God works in continuity throughout the Bible. When the power of God works, there's a transformation that takes place. Now it goes back to Elizabeth here. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. In her old age, and is now the sixth month for who was called barren. Here's verse 37. Here's this answer that Paul learned and talked about. Paul was transformed as well. And this one he shared. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary rose in those days and went to a hill country with haste to a city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we got some power going on again. You're not just filled with the Spirit and then you do nothing. Something was taking place here to the point where a baby would leap in the womb. Again, physically bring it up again. Well, our babies have danced in the womb when they've heard the Beatles music being played. This was different. This was not the same thing at all. This is because of the Spirit that was given here. We don't need to physically try to explain this out. Because when it says being filled with the Spirit, something happens. Then she came out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How could she say such a thing? How did she know such a thing? Being filled with the Spirit. All of a sudden, you're talking with some inspiration now. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her from the Lord. That transformation now would be taking place. And the greatest transformation in the life of mankind would take place. So here it's probably categorized in your Bible as a song of Mary, but it came forth because of the power of God's Spirit. Not just because Mary felt like singing or coming up with some words at this time, because it was written down for us. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. How did she know that? Inspiration, the power of God. For he who has done mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. It sounds like she's drawing from things that were mentioned even in the Old Testament. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And it says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So that would be interesting to be there for another 3 months while she's now conceived Christ and they're developing this relationship here. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. And his mother answered and said, no, he will be called John. And that wasn't the way that you did it then. That was much different. They said, there is no one among your relatives who is called by John. Wait, that's just the way that you do it. You're going to name your son after you. No, that's not what the angel said. And look what happens, though. Look what a transformation that takes place. And it took how many months then? If the angel told Zacharias, you're going to be mute, and now the baby is born, so John can't talk, or Zacharias can't talk for at least 9 months. Now, that'd be troublesome for a lot of people here. 9 months, you can't say a thing? That's when they came out with chalkboards. You're probably writing it down. It did happen here. There's no one called by your relatives among this that who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have called them. He asked for a writing tablet and said, his name is John. And they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Now, either that's the story, or that's one of those transformations that sometimes we miss because we see the water dividing and other things, so this is not such a big deal. You don't speak for 9 months, that's a big deal. And all of a sudden you do this, you acknowledge what Gabriel told you what was going to happen, and the power of God is unleashed. And you see these things happen. See, sometimes we want to see the great things happen in our life, and we miss the small things that might take place in our life too with these transformations. We're people that are being transformed in small ways and in large ways as well. And God's going to assure that that's completed in us. So our lives will always be growing, hopefully, and changing. If there's not, then I would be concerned. Verse 65 would transform there. It says, fear came on all those who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed through all the whole country of Judea. So the word got out here on what was transpiring. No doubt the word got out that Zacharias couldn't talk for 9 months, and all these things were taking place. And so this was spreading out. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67, his father Zacharias was, here we go again, Zacharias now filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Transformation took place. The power was unleashed, and here he prophesies. He says, blessed to the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. That light and darkness again? we saw back in John, there's a continuity of that prophecy and inspiration. The only thing that happened, it didn't happen. Maybe at their time he's prophesying this, and they all thought that would happen in their lifetime, to give peace among the enemies, and they were never really delivered in the way that they thought. But it was a prophecy that was going to be a transformation for the future. And that's why this has to do more with us than anything. We can understand this now. We can see this now. But do we accept that power working in our lives that we can be transformed as well? Then we have to ask ourselves, where is it? Where we can cut through this and continue on with the transformation from the very beginning, that this person, this same one called Jesus Christ, would be called the author or the beginner and the finisher of our faith. So here's a time for us to step back, for each of you that have been baptized, and see, where has God transformed me in my life, and is that transformation continuing? Or is that spirit laying dormant when it needs to be moving and doing something? Remember, the beginning, the movement or preparation, and then you see the transformation. So here it ends up here in verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts to the day of his manifestation to Israel. You know what happened here? Here you got a movement that was taking place. And this time, now it says he's in the deserts. Do you think that he was just in the desert really kind of, you know, he got better with the slingshot or something? Or do you think any time you saw someone go into the desert like Paul or Christ, there was some communication, there was some education that was taking place there? So when he came out and he was ready to do what he was prepared. He was educated, and a transformation through that power took place. So when you look at these scriptures here that go all the way through verse 80, you can see a beginning, you can see a movement through the power of God through not just one person, but through quite a few people, and then on through Galilee, what took place with these prophecies and all the rest of the acts that took place here. And chapter 2 of Luke, beginning in verse 39. Chapter 2, verse 39. So after all these things that are taking place with Christ, and he went up during the time of purification, don't want to go through all that, but here you get in a place in verse 39 that Christ is growing up, and it's very interesting. You see him in the temple at about age 12. The verse suggests this. Chapter 2, though, verse 39. Let's go through this. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And it speaks now when they went up to Jerusalem. So here he had a family. And so what was he doing for all those times when he went through purification up to 12 years old? It says here, verse 40, the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Mary and Joseph were no doubt teaching him. He was learning things. But there's not a whole lot that's said in that segment from 1 to 12. And then you find a missing dimension that takes place after that as well. It doesn't say, but there was something going on. Because why? The Spirit of God was moving. It says the Spirit of God, he was filled with the Spirit of God from birth. And it wasn't lying dormant. He was learning, he was growing, and things were taking place in preparation for what he was going to be doing. Continuing on here, it says, after considering when he was up at the temple, you get to verse 52 here. It says here, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. There was a segment here after Luke is relating the story of Jesus being 12 years old and confounding the teachers in the temple. About 18 years pass with nothing more said really about him. About 18 years. When he was increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Many have speculated about his activities during that period. Now, it's impossible really to know. The Bible doesn't say it. But it's probable that he remained in Nazareth with his family. He kept the days, kept increasing and learning, probably helping Joseph in his trade. It's possible, even though that Nazareth was small in a rural town, it's not far from the trading center in Jerusalem. He would have many opportunities to speak and interact with people from all over. We don't know exactly what took place. But as the firstborn son, he may have had to take on the possibility of as being a business owner if Joseph had died. No one knows when that took place. You don't see much of his name mentioned later on. But if he had to do this, given the serious responsibilities at a young age, it would also give him valuable experience in leadership and decision-making and dealing with various people in different situations. But by the time his ministry commences and you get to Luke chapter 3, verse 21, let's go over here. Luke 3, verse 21, let's see what it says here. Now, you get a time when Christ was baptized. And, of course, the question came out, why did he have to be baptized if he had never sinned? We do know that he never sinned. And yet he was baptized, and you're baptized for the remission of sins. Coming to the understanding of what the Scripture says, what he did was always for an example. Verse 21, now when all people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized while he prayed. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. People point out a dove. It said like a dove. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in which I am well pleased. So we do know that he had a spirit, but there was something there that God was showing. And of course, with that spirit, there was going to be another transformation. Verse 23 says, now Jesus himself began his ministry about 30 years of age, as it was supposed he was the son of Joseph. See, once again, now you're seeing another beginning that was taking place, aren't you? The Holy Spirit descends, he begins his ministry, and now you're going to see action taking place. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by Spirit in the wilderness, being tested by 40 days by Satan. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And so we went through the temptations here, and then you get this continuity of what takes place. There's always a beginning, there's always the power of God, and there's some kind of change that's taking place. You can see all the miracles, so many miracles that are listed. Let me just list a few here. There's so many. A man with dropsy that was cured. Some of these you'll find in different areas. In Luke, you'll find that. The 10 lepers cleansed. The servant's ear that was healed. His first miracle that's recorded anyway. The water changed into wine. The official's son healed of a fever. The invalid man cured at the pool at Bethsaida. Jesus passes through the crowd in the temple. Man born blind was cured at Jerusalem. Lazarus raised from the dead. The catch of the 153 fish. The 4,000 fed. The fig tree cursed by Jesus. It goes on and on. What does that tell us? The manifestation of the power, the transformation that took place. That's what happens when God's Holy Spirit is working. From the very beginning, that's the way it was. So we can see all the miracles, we can see the calling of the disciples, the very beginning in their life, and the movement and the transformation that occurred in their life. What happened? Christ called them, there was a beginning. They made lots of mistakes, tons of them, didn't we, as we do when we go through. But one thing we can gather from this, again going back to the very beginning, is God's given to us the Holy Spirit. He's given to us a different beginning than mine was in June 1st. Mine may have been September 6th of 1980, I believe was the date when I was baptized. That was a beginning for me. But a transformation started occurring before that because of God's Spirit working. Different things were doing, and then there was that very, if you want to call it the highlighted beginning that we can actually date, the time where I was baptized, the Holy Spirit that was given. And now there was going to be an education process that was going to take place, as it was for every one of us. We were educated. You looked into God's Word. You started studying. You started to realize, I've got to change. And you received the help of God to be able to make those changes. The thing is, it doesn't stop. And the Holy Spirit is still growing within each and every one of us. We've got to exercise that according to the faith that we all have to be able to do this. Calling of the disciples, their beginning, their movement, and their prep. And then you come to Acts chapter 3, where you can see an example of a transformation. I won't go through all the examples of where the disciples were being worked with by their master, Jesus Christ, as he's working with us the same way today. But as you know, when Peter denied Christ, when he said, I'll lay down my life for you, it is possible for that to happen to us as well. If nothing happens, if the Spirit's not moved and it's not stirred up, then we can fall as well. So we've got to stir up the gift of God's Spirit as we understand it's given to us. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up together at the temple of the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, or donations. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from him. Then Peter, wow, a transformation you can certainly see in him from when you read all the different examples through the gospel accounts. Didn't really have the faith, couldn't make it across the water, was always being outspoken. They were talking about who was greater than each other. You see something totally different here. How? I think we all understand and know how. And this is what he speaks. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, how do you explain that one out? There's a transformation by the power of God that's there. And if you're not seeing that so much of that now, you'll be seeing it a lot more in the future. You know, God's got his plan and knows when to act and when to do things. You're going to see a lot more powerful things that are happening in the future. You may see them happening soon. We've got to keep our eyes on this and then do our best to do what God has called us to do. He leaped up. You know, I could just see somebody just getting up, and maybe they just had their knee brace put on or something, and they're kind of quivering a little bit. This guy stands up, and he leaps for joy. And all people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he who was begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Maybe people that you know have looked at you with maybe wonder and amazement. I would probably go back to my school friends back where I grew up. They would probably be wondering amazement. Maybe they wouldn't like the transformation, but I know it's there. And there's more of it to be done in all of our lives. Let's go to a few other scriptures here in Matthew chapter 9. This is how it works, and Christ knew how it worked. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. It goes back to the very, very beginning, in a sense, where, as Mr. Baker pointed out, especially in these darker days that we have right now where things get a little bit more depressing, this is for our time now for us to really gear up as we're nearing Passover. And I'm glad the days are going by fast. You know, already we're almost, you know, into the end of January here. Before you know it, Passover is going to be here. I'd rather not wait till 2 weeks before to start thinking about our preparations for that. We need to be thinking about this and stepping back and see where we are within our lives and whether we're really stirring up and using God's Spirit to produce that transformation, that we're considering our beginnings and where we came from individually and even as a church and where we're going. Matthew chapter 9, it's beginning in verse 1. He got into a boat, crossed over, came to his own city, and behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes and ministers said within themselves, this man blasphemies. How can you forgive sin? And how could you identify that someone's sins were really forgiven just because someone said it? Here was the identifying factor where Christ showed them. Because he said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. He had the Spirit of God. He exercised it. And you see incredible transformations. And these transformations aren't the end of this story. We read it from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation. And there's going to be a lot more transformations that will be taking place in the Church of God. Some say that the book of Acts is not finished. It really isn't. When you look at the progress of the church, maybe there will be more that will be written. You know, will your name be written in there? Will my name be written in there? Well, obviously, for those that continue, your name's going to be somewhere. It's called in the book of life. And those that are believe that they had that beginning, that they had that power, that they stood up, and that stirring up in the transformation that occurred. In Luke chapter 24, Luke 24. So much that Christ, so much that John the Baptist prepared for and fulfilled, so much that Christ prepared for, and all the things that he did were a part of that preparation process, and we're still in that preparation process as well. You know, our times really come into the future when we're going to be changing. We're going to be a part of Christ's family among those that return to set this entire world straight. There may be times where things ease up and seem to get a bit better, but we know that's not true. It's interesting that there was the son of Billy Graham had mentioned, I was pleased to hear that they got together and people have been praying, and that's a good thing. God honors the people that try, that don't have all the knowledge, but mention that our country has to repent, has to change, has to repent of its sins. He's so exactly right. I had to give him credit for somebody that doesn't have all of God's Spirit, but made something like that. I go, and he doesn't know it all. He doesn't know it all yet. You know, this country is going to have to repent of how it worshipped God. So many different things that we see. We're going to be teachers of those as well. There's going to be a great transformation that takes place in the future. Luke 24, beginning in verse 49. So this is what he had said in teaching his disciples. He said he taught them all that he could through that teaching process, the beginning that they had when he actually went out and called him after his ministry had started. He called all of his disciples. And there was one that didn't make it. We understand that. But he said, this is how you're going to do it now. This is how you're going to accomplish everything that's needed to be accomplished. He said, thus it is written, verse 46, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. It couldn't be accomplished without that. That was a part of God's plan. And that power is the same power and access that's given to us today. It's the continuity, it's the continuation of this story. Do you believe that? From the very beginning, this is how God's worked. And he gave us the promise of that. And each and every one of us can probably remember when that happened to you from the very beginning, when hands were laid upon you and professed to give you the Spirit of God, to give us the power. There was going to be a transformation that was going to take place. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. It says, as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's what our destiny is. Do we really believe in the transformation? Now again, the Apostle Paul said to the Romans, don't be conformed to this world. There's so much not to be conformed with that we've got to weed through the mess that's being provided to so many people today, the lies of Satan. We've got the truth from the very beginning to the very end. Do we understand our beginning? Do we realize that we've got to stir up the gift of God in us that's through the laying on of hands, as Paul pointed out to Timothy in 1 Timothy? There's a change and a transformation that's going to happen to each and every one of us, and a change that's going to occur. So I'll ask the question is, because you know what this means now, are you being metamorphed? Let's grow and change and look forward to the coming kingdom of God and the power that's going to make changes to this entire world.